So we're holding in Bava Metzia Perek Tes. It's the last Mishnah of the Perek. It's a whole new thing. Let me get a chumash, 1 second. So the last Mishnah here deals with a whole new topic. It's the topic, it's halacha is dealing with taking security, you know, like in a collateral from a borrower. The Torah looks out for the poor person, and therefore it puts on various restrictions so that a person on the lender, so you can't, you know, overly press or overly harm or overly embarrass even the borrower. So I'm reading here.
Mishnah 13.
Protect. Yeah, people. Yeah, borrowers. Borrowers actually.
That has means.
But actually, you'll see it actually would apply to a borrower who has means also if he needs. Yeah. Even though Mishnah will talk about a poor person, it applies to anybody. We'll see in a second. I'll explain. Here, so I'm reading from Devarim Chav Dalid, starting in Pasuk Yud for now. I'll go back to Pasuk Bav later. But Pasuk Yud in Devarim Chav Dalid, Kiseitse, it says, Ki Sashe Bereecha Mash'as Ma'uma. When you have a loan out on your friend of any amount, any size loan, it doesn't matter what. Lo savo el beso la'avot avoto. You can't walk into the guy's house to take your collateral. We're talking here about, you know, the loan came due, he didn't cough up. You can't just barge in and take his dirio until he comes up with the money to pay you. Not allowed. Rather, b'chutz ta'amod, you have to stand outside. You can knock on his door and say, listen, you owe me, and he says, I don't have the money. Then you say, well, I want some collateral, and he can bring out the stereo, but you can't go in and get it. The person to whom you have a loan out to, he'll bring it out to you, he'll bring it, the collateral to you on the outside. So that's rule number one. Rule number one, the mitzvah is not allowed to help yourself to go in there, you have to stand outside. The mission will talk about even, well, the mission will pick up more. Second of all, it says, Vimaish anihu, if the man is poor, so although the Torah is going to talk about a poor person specifically, Chazal understand it to be anybody who needs something in particular, lo tishkav ba'avoto, you may not, literally you can't sleep with his collateral. What it means is if he has something he needs, that you're taking his mattress as collateral. So you can't now withhold it from that night, he needs it at night, so they return it to him, or his pajamas, or his pillow, or his blanket, whatever it is. So then if you need something, if he needs it, sorry?
A sleeping
item? Teddy bear. Well, this is talking about sleeping with it. It's actually lavdafka. It could be, we'll see in a second, if he, during the day, he needs his, whatever, you know, his laptop. Exactly right. He needs a laptop to do his work. So you can confiscate his laptop, but every morning, you got to bring it back so he can do his work again.
Not much of a confiscation.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. What? That's what Tosa says. Exactly right. We'll discuss it. You're asking a good question because you're asking a question. Yeah, that's exactly the answer. Okay, but anyway, so step one is you can't help yourself to the guy's house, stand outside. Step two, even if you take something, if he needs it, you have to give it back to him. You can't withhold it when he needs it. So here, the pasuk is taking a case of like his sleeping items, and at nighttime he needs it again, so you're returning it. But it's lav dafka, and ani lav dafka, sleeping things, whatever it is, he needs it, you have to bring it back to him. Hashev tashiv lo esa avot, he will certainly return back the collateral. Kavo hashemesh, when the sun sets, v'shachav b'salmaso, and he will sleep in his pajamas, whatever, his night clothes. Ve'rechecha, and the borrower, will bless you for having returned his pajamas to him. Ulecha tia tzedakah lifnei Hashem lokecha, and Hashem will consider your act of returning him his pajamas every night, or mattress, whatever the story is, an act of tzedakah. So, and again, it's lav dafka, sleepy things, lav dafka night, it could be day. The point is, you return it when he needs it, so he doesn't have to suffer. That is obligatory, and Hashem will take care of you appropriately. But it's any person. In other words, I don't know what, if the guy's a zillionaire, but he only can sleep with his one teddy bear, and all you can confiscate is any tongue, whatever, that is a silly case. But that's, the point is, if he needs a teddy bear, you have to return it to him. It's not a matter of money, it's a matter of he needs this thing. You have to give it back to him. So that's the second set of dinim, that whatever you take is collateral, you have to bring back.
I know we learned earlier about taking out a loan and putting up collateral. Is this this case, or is this where he didn't do it originally, but now you say he's late, I'm going to go grab something?
Yeah, pretty much everyone understands this Mishnah and this Psukim here. He's talking about not at the time of the loan, but post facto. In other words, what we're talking here is the money is due, so now you've gone to collect. That's right, that's what we're talking about over here. Exactly, that's what people understand. Okay, so those are the Psukim. So now the Mishnah says, again, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Hamal ves chavero, if one lends to his friend, lo yimashkenu el bebeistin. You cannot, the Pasuk said you can't go help yourself to his stuff. The Mishnah says you can't even go and take your collateral other than through the normative judiciary process of going to Beis Din. In other words, you can't show up at his door and say, you owe me, 30 days are up, where's my money? He says, I have no money. You say, well, I'm standing outside, but bring me your stereo. That's not how it works. You have to go to Beis Din. The Beis Din has to then appoint someone who's going to go and collect the stereo system on your behalf. And lalacha, the pasuk will then say, the Mishnah, but it says, v'lo yikhanes lebeisa litol mishkono, and the Gemara understands, bottom line, Allah and this the din, even the Shliach Basin, who's now the agent of the court, who's gone to essentially to confiscate something, he also can't barge in and kick the door down. He has to wait outside, and the debtor who can't pay will give the stereo, whatever it is, to the agent of the Basin. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Bachut Ta'amod. He should stand outside.
In other words, is there something in the yard? Can he take that, or is that considered his house?
Oh, you're really asking two questions. Let me speak them out. The issue: the house is the house, not the yard. Okay, which means indeed a person, the Beis Din could confiscate something straight out of his hands. There's a difference. In other words, the restriction is you can't help yourself in his house, but let's say it's in his yard, or for that matter, he just happens to be walking back from the hi-fi shop where he got his radio fixed, and he's not yet inside. Words like radio and hi-fi are like so anachronistic, I don't know why I picked them today. But there's no such thing as a hi-fi shop in the 21st century, I realize, but anyways, I don't know why I picked them. So... Wi-Fi shop, yeah. Anyways, it's funny. Anyways, I guess got hit very hard today, so I've been thrown back 30 years. Anyways, the point is, if he's walking back with his radio, as if people do that today, this is the radio that he walked on today, right? Anyways, and then you could help yourself. You could take it from him then. You're not going to his house. Okay. Fine.
His other, his shed somewhere, the old place where you secure something for me, you return it, that kind of place, can you just walk in there and grab something?
I don't know. Can you break into a safe store and take his stuff?
Like repo his car?
I would think the basin could. I don't know for a fact. I don't see why not. It's not an issue of breaking and entering, it's an issue of like invading the guy's private space. Like, it's his house. You don't have no business barging to the guy's house. It's undignified. I mean, the poor guy. Yeah, I would think you could. I would think it's not his house. He's got a storage shed outside.
But it was also something that he needs.
We're not getting that yet. It's a separate issue. Whatever. He has an extra. His snowblower. It's the middle of the summer. So you can just, yes, you can, if he doesn't enter the front door, then with the basin go, they'll just open the shed door and take the snowblower. Anyways, at least they use it in the 21st century. It's not a bitch, how much they don't. Don't make me laugh, whatever you do. Sorry, say again.
I wouldn't think he's going to go far because
he needs it. Yeah, indeed, you have to bring it back every single morning to drive to work. Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah, maybe I will. I don't think I'm that bad. I think I'm just a little battered and bruised. I'm okay. Yeah. Anyways, okay. So I don't think I broke a rope. No. I don't think of anything like that. Okay.
I broke a rib once and didn't find out until 5 years later.
How did you find out?
I
We still broke the rib later?
I got my back and they said, oh, when did you break your rib?
Oh. Whoa.
I was not lagging with Rally Hill. I take the stairs. I take Mr. Class.
Oh my. Anyways. So, yes, that's that. Okay, yeah, anyways. So that's that. Hilo Shnei Kalim, if he has two different Kalim. So, in other words, so the case is he has his laptop, which he uses to work by day, and he has his mattress, which he uses by night. So, we have a similar case in a second. So, what you have to do is every morning you have to show up at his house, return his laptop to his work, and every night you return the laptop and you take. Oh, sorry, did I say that wrong? Every morning you show up, you confiscate the mattress and return the laptop, and every night you confiscate the laptop and return the mattress. Yeah. So.
Well, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Not expensive.
You don't have to, but you could. The point is, you can't. If you want to keep collateral, you have to.
So to me, it'd be more inconvenient to you than to him.
Very possibly.
The mattress, I think, sounds cumbersome, but if it's just a laptop or a ring or something, it's not big, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. Listen. Whatever it is, it is. Yeah. The point is, you're. If you want to conflict, the point is, the Torah doesn't give a stuff about the lender. It is a concern about the gift. I mean, it's secondary concern of the lender. Primary concern is the needs and dignity and survival of the borrower, who's like the underdog here. So, we don't. No one told you to take collateral, but if you want to take collateral, you can't withhold them stuff that he needs. That's that. So. Yeah, so that's that. So that's the story. So the Mishnah says inside, Hilo Shnei Kalim, so the total loan added up to two Kalim, two amounts, laptop and mattress combined. Notel Echad Omniach Echad, you take one and you have to leave one, like I said. Umach Zir Sakar Balaila, so you return his car as his mattress or a pillow every night. Vesa Macharesha, and this is his plow, the 2000-year-old version of a laptop. Bayom, you take his plow. Sorry, you return his plow by day, so he can have that. So that's that. And I should point out that you cannot, according to Tanna Kamma here, that process can never end. Like you can, so in a way, you can't even sell. You can't, according to Tanna Kamma, you can never sell the guy's laptop. So he needs it. So now the question is, this is a little funny. Anytime the guy needs it, you have to give it back to him, and you can never sell it. So like, what kind of teeth? What's a collateral worth? Very little. But Tosfos says, Tosfos Rabbi Akiva brings it. Yeah, but it's pretty humiliating to have a guy come and repossess your mattress every morning. It's just, you know, not the kind of thing you want to have you put up with on an ongoing basis. So you'll be induced to yeah, definitely.
You can't use it.
Excuse
me. You can't use it. We
is that true?
Collateral, can't choose at all.
Yeah.
He's a shomer.
Right. He's a shomer. I think he's even a shomer sachar. He's a shomer sachar. Right? Because it's collateral. Yeah. So that's that. What he could. Yeah, that's that. What he could do is he could rent out the laptop by night and start recovering. Remember that we said to Shavuot Savena?
No.
And pay down the guy's debt. Remember we saw that?
Well, he can use it himself and report from the debt.
Sorry?
He has a right to rent it out.
He has a right to rent it out.
Does he have to get permission?
No, he has a right to rent it out if it's something that will not be like long term damaged by its use. More the rent is high relative to the wear and tear, which is low, then you could rent it out. And rent it out and use the proceeds to pay on the guy's debt. Called Mishava Saveda.
He'd be paying himself off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. You owe me $1,000, you didn't pay, so I can't complete your laptop. Every morning I bring it back, every night I take it back, so I can have this, I can rent out your laptop to my neighbor at night, charge him $10 a day, and after 100 days I can say, listen, here's your laptop, have a nice life, you've been reimbursed me, thank you very much. Well, the answer question is no. I understand a laptop is a funny thing, because a laptop probably wouldn't fall into that category, because Itaka does not fetch a high price level to the damage, and people wouldn't want the laptop rented out. But if it's a hammer, I mean, whatever I'm saying, you know, something. Right? Okay. Yep, that's that. So, Tanna Kamma, you can never actually sell it. Now, the imeis, now, at least this is true, if the borrower eventually dies, having never paid back his debt, and the lender has the guy's laptop in his house, he need not return it to the inheritors. So in other words, the pasuk says you'll return it to him, hashev teshiv lo esa abot. You will return it to him, the collateral, but not his kids. So when the guy dies, you can keep it then at that point.
What position is the lender in? Because he's holding the laptop at night and waiting it.
Yeah, the laws of Shomer.
She's a Shomer Safar. He's a Shomer Safar. Is it considered a paid watchman, meaning he's chayav for Ganeva Neveda, because he gets a benefit? His benefit is he's being able to collect his money. It's a tool to collect his money.
Doesn't he therefore that's one?
So he putter from lightning.
Huh?
He putter from lightning.
But if he loans someone, doesn't he have to get permission then?
Yeah, but we said we have the, yes, but the separate. And normally you may not loan out your thing that you. But we said when it comes to a mashkon, a collateral, if you can lend it out, it's considered a shavas aveda to actually help the guy pay down his debt. So that you can monetize that thing, then he'll be happy. The presumption is, in the halacha over there, that the guy will be happy for you to rent out his hammer at night. He can't use it anyways, so why should I have it sitting idle in your drawer? Rent it out to someone and, you know, make a few bucks and that'll pay down my debt. I realize a hammer is a silly example in the other direction, because who the heck rents hammers? I don't know, a middle case off the top of my head. If you're, so you know,
if something happens while the new renter has it, the person responsible is the
creditor.
The creditor will be responsible. It depends what happened, but indeed, yeah. Yeah. If someone's responsible, it'll be the creditor, exactly. Now, right. Okay, so that's that. Now, the Mishnah continues on. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he doesn't accept this. This can go on forever business. That doesn't make any sense, he says. Afla atma eno machzir, ela ad shloshem yom. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, listen, even to this guy, this bum who hasn't paid back his debt, this only goes on for 30 days. After that, the shenanigans have to end. You could take his laptop, not return it to him, sell it, and that's that. In other words, he has 30 days to make arrangements, but at some point, there has to be some teeth in the collateral. What's the point of collateral? So he has 30 days to make arrangements, and if not, then you can not return it to him. You can then sell it, and he has to make his own deal with things. So that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's shita. After 30 days, mochen bebeisdin, he can just sell it with beisdin, and then take the money. Remember, the borrower ultimately owes the money, so that's that. So there's a machlokas here between Tanna Kamma and Shimon Gamliel. If you're allowed to sell the collateral after 30 days, the halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, that you may not. So if the guy's that poor that all he has is collateral, which he really needs, he ain't got much collateral. Okay, now a new din. Related, but new din. So I'm going to go back and read a few psukim previous. There's another mitzvah here. The Torah gives special protection to the almana, the old widow. It's actually machlokas poskim if this is dafka, an almana, a woman whose husband died, or really any single woman, even if she's a divorcee or just like a single girl who never got married. In all these cases, it's a machlokas if the Torah came. This includes them also. But the point is, this woman or these women are whatever. They're at the mercy of society on some level. They need extra protection. So the Torah therefore says, "Lo." I'm reading now from the Varm Chavdal and Mishnah Vav. It says it's a couple of lines up from the previous pasuk. Lo yachavol rechayim. Oh, sorry, that's not the pasuk I wanted. Sorry, one second. Which is the pasuk I want? Where is it? Oh, sorry, Yitzhak. Sorry, here, so it says. The pasuk says, "Lo sata mishpat ger yasom." I've been translating; it's not our topic at all. But the pasuk ends, "Vlo tachabol beger almana." You may not. Now, chabol here also means sort of confiscate. It's a funny word though, because chabala means like to remember. Hachovel was eighth perk of Bavakama, was like, you know, one who injures his friend. Here, chovel means to confiscate, but it's like a nasty. It's like a very injurious kind of confiscation. So it says here, you losach will beg an almana, you cannot confiscate an almana's clothing, because she needs it, and really anything that she needs you can't confiscate. Again, the Rambam learns that this is there's a discussion of this is talking about dafka at the time of also the time of the loan, or just dafka when you're collecting it afterwards. So the Rambam learns the special protection that the almana gets is that you can never take collateral of stuff that she needs, even at the time of the loan. Others are no. At the time of the loan, whatever she puts up, she puts up. The Isra is going back when she fails to pay you, and now starting to take it. So you cannot take this chovel, this taking of this collateral, is bad news for the woman. You cannot take it from her. And this applies, bein shehi almana, bein shehi aniya, bein shehi ashira, doesn't matter if she's rich or poor. Eima mashkenosa, you just cannot go and take her stuff as collateral. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Loslach will beg it almana. You can't take the almana stuff. It says beg it, but it's lavdav could beg it. Anything. You can't take her stuff. She's protected. She has to pay, but you can't twist her arm by taking collateral. Now the yeah, right. Exactly. Fine. Now the next part of the Mishnah is talking about confiscating things. That are there's a special din the Torah has that's the pasuk kashrut before pasuk vav, which says lo yachabol, again the same verb there, taking collateral, but with this nasty word rechaim v'rachev ki nefesh hu chovel. You cannot take rechaim is that like a hand mill? You have to know what it looks like for a second. It's important for this Mishnah.
The flat rounds back.
That's exactly right what it is. Exactly what it is. It's like a
you have a marker on the
massive. No, I don't have anything on me. Sorry. Nothing today. Unusually, don't have my bag. But anyways, don't have a marker. No more marker. Anyways, you can imagine. Not that complicated. Basically, you have like a small millstone, a small like heavy circle that grows around in a circle that you, and there's a base on which it grinds. Something like a mortar and pestle. It's not a mortar and pestle, something else, but it's like that. You have a top. It's important to understand this. There's a top grinding rock. We'll call that's the thing that moves, and you have a bottom base for it that, like, you know, the, on which the grains sit as they get, you know, ground up to bits. So the rechaim v'rachav, the two parts of it, the millstone and the thing on which it, like the grinder, the moving part on top, and the thing on that it sits on. So the pasuk says you may not confiscate either of those two things. So lo rech v'lo rechaim v'lo rechav. Sorry, did I read the whole sentence there? It says hachovel es rechaim. Normally, rechaim can refer either to like just the top stone as it moves, or the like the whole contraption, the whole device. So it says, "Achovel es rechaim." If one confiscates the whole device, over below sase, he's over the lav, as the pasuk says. We just read it. V'chayev mishum shnei kelim, and actually he's actually done two wrong things by taking both the top stone and the bottom stone. He's actually taken two things. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Lo yachol rechaim v'rachev." The fact that the pasuk went out of its way to speak out both implements, both parts of the system. Because that each thing that you take is like a separate crime, and therefore, meaning like the dugma says also, if some guy says, "Oh no, you better not confiscate that mill set because the Torah says not to," and then the lender says, "I don't care, I'm taking it anyways," so he'd be over twice, and he'd be chayv two sets of malchus, one for the rechaim, one for the rechav, one for the top, one for the bottom.
With one warning.
Yeah. Exactly right. V'lo rechaim v'recha bilvad amru. Mishnah says the Torah seems to.
Each one makes it impossible to live.
I don't think that's the clue. I think the point is that either one or both. I'll accept that. Yes, I will. Each of those two things are critical for like making food. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a survival. It was a package deal, but each one by themselves, as you said, correct, is critical on its own right. So therefore, if you take either one, you've already messed it up from being able to make food.
It's like, someone has like a gas oven, it would be like taking the oven and the gas.
That's right. That's exactly what it would be like. It would be twice, remember, two laven. Not right. So that's what it says here. V'lo v'rechaim v'recha b'lvad. We're not talking about, it's not just about millstones and, you know, the grinding base. Ella kol davar sha'osim bo ochel nefesh, anything that you use for food preparation, which people need for eating, all those things, to take them is a crime. as collateral. Shneimar the pasuk. Again, we're talking about collecting afterwards. We're not talking about at the time the loan is made. But if you want to pose collateral, you could. Shneimar the pasuk says, "Ki nefesh hu chovel." You're taking the guy's soul. That's what it's a funny pasuk, right? The pasuk says, "Don't take it because you're confiscating his nefesh," which means like this is his means to life. You know, how are you going to take the guy's? So even if that means, unlike the previous things, you cannot take his food making utensils even at night. You can't take those things. The lender has no business taking the things that the guy needs to survive. That's that. You can make time to crop. Maybe he'll forget. He'll oversleep. He won't get there in time. The point is, you just can't take the guy's food and livelihood. So it sort of becomes a discussion about. That's the end of the Mishnah. It will become a discussion how you could actually take like the guy's plow in the first place if he needs that to make a living to get his food. Okay, you'll have to have a teret to that, whatever the case will be, that it's not his direct means to food. But anything that would be a direct means to food, you cannot take. Okay. And with that, we finish the ninth parak of Bava Metzia.